I am mining investor and editor of Resource Stock Digest, Gerardo Del Real, here with my partner, Mr. Nick Hodge, who's an investor and publisher of Daily Profit Cycle. We're back, everyone. Happy New Year. This is the 348th episode of our weekly therapy session. And my Lord, do we need one this week that we call Investing in Bizarro World. We're going to talk a little bit about the markets and what we're investing in. And we're going to talk about all the stuff that's going on around the world. Plenty to get to before I get to the chaos and the madness. Nick, first and foremost, how are you and your beautiful family doing, sir?
Holy hell, Gerardo. It's good to be back with you. Missed a couple of weeks for the holiday. Missed one before that because I was out. Holidays were fantabulous. Have three, you know, Santa-aged kids still. So the magic is there. Had the in-laws in town. Got some hunting done. Took a Santa cruise on Lake Coeur d'Alene. All the good things. How about you? How was your holiday? Ready to get back to it?
The holiday was phenomenal. New Year's was great with my beautiful wife, my beautiful babies, my boys, my sister, the family. I'm very thankful, very blessed, very fortunate. I don't know that we should take a couple of weeks off anymore, Nick. When we left, ICE and the government just hated Somalians and Mexicans, and now they're shooting white, blonde Christian woman in the face. It's a lot going on out there. I can't start with the markets this week, everybody. So I'll tell you right now that if you want the market portion of this conversation, you probably want to fast forward 20 minutes because there's just too much going on. I mean, between what's happening in Minnesota with the unfortunate, tragic loss of that young woman, that young mother, what's happening in Iran as we speak, the fact that we only got 1% of the Epstein files, like 1%, despite the fact that this is the administration of law and order and the law said they were supposed to deliver those a week or two ago. There's 400 attorneys now digging into that. I could go on and on and on. I don't know where you want to start. It's hard for me not to start with the tragic shooting and killing of that young mother in Minnesota that was dropping her kid off from school. I might get myself in trouble, so I want to hear your thoughts, Nick. Let me start there. And this is how you know we're live, folks. Nick, can you hear me? I don't think they want Nick to share his thoughts. Well, I'll share some of my thoughts really quick while we get Nick back. I'm going to share the parts that shouldn't be controversial or partisan or any of that, because everybody immediately has taken to X, to Twitter, to social media, to the news, to politicize this thing. What shouldn't be up for debate is that there has to be a higher regard for human life than what we saw in that video. I'm not going to say that that officer murdered that young woman. I'm not going to say that that woman tried to murder an officer. I certainly am not going to say, as the Homeland Security director said, 20 minutes, the body wasn't even fucking cold yet. I'm certainly not going to call that young lady a domestic terrorist because I have eyes and saw the same video that you all saw. What I will say is, at the very least, there should be a higher regard for human life all the way around. I don't want to be what I'm not because I'm not a forensic specialist, right? I don't want to talk about the positioning of that officer's feet. I don't want to talk about how fast the young lady was going. You can see all that for yourself. If you just take your partisan hats off, everyone, and just look with your eyes and just be reasonable, you can see exactly what happened there. And if you don't want to believe your eyes and you just want to be partisan and believe that, you know, this young lady died because she was part of some left-wing protest group that George Soros funded, there's nothing that I am going to be able to say or that anyone is going to be able to say to take you out of that thought, out of that frame of mind. Well, what I will say is this. I don't know if any of you have ever shot at anyone or have been shot at. the angle of that first bullet shows you where that officer was. The second and the third shots aren't up for debate. That woman was shot in the face from the front and from the side. You do what you want to do with your eyes and go watch the video and form your own thoughts. But at the very least, can we all agree that regard for human life has to be higher than that? And the people in power, whether it's ICE or the police or the FBI, whoever it is, have to have a higher regard for life than that. And I'll just leave it there before I get myself in trouble.
Yeah, there's a lot to get worked up about this week. Like you said, we'll talk about all sorts of stuff, and multiple things can be true at the same time. Hopefully I'm back and you can hear me okay. We don't need masked police roaming the streets in unmarked cars is the first thing. And I'm not trying to play both sides here. I'm just telling you, like, I call it like I see it, and I'm telling you like it is. At the same time, I don't think this officer is going to have the same sort of repercussions and penalties that the officers involved in sort of the George Floyd killing did, right? So where in that case, they had a gentleman on the ground and they were uniformed officers, and there was an incident that happened beforehand that they had under control. This is sort of in the heat of the moment. She was behind the wheel, and so she was there for a protest, and you got to see both sides of it, right? So the regard for life is atrocious. The way the police are trained is atrocious. The way the law is written is for the government and not for the people. And all those things can be true. This lady should not have lost her life. Police shouldn't have such a itchy trigger finger and a hair trigger. And yet that's where we've been for a long time, Gerardo. We've been doing this podcast for a long time. We've documented numerous incidences of police violence and the way they act in protest, pepper spraying people, pushing over seniors who are unarmed and causing them to have concussions. And so, you know, look, lots of things can be true at the same time. I try to be a realist and not to take the other side of the debate, because I don't think we're having one. But, you know, at the same time, the law is going to say she was disobeying an officer. She was behind the wheel, put it in drive. And, you know, he's going to say that he was in fear for his life. And that's going to be that. All that aside, again, we have masked folks roaming around the United States in various cities, which is very draconian and authoritarian and, quite frankly, scary, right? So, look, I can't do anything to change that situation. Nobody can. But, you know, what I would tell you is that it's not unexpected. That's sort of where I revert to, right? Yeah. Given where we're at in this fourth turning, which I don't know if you said while I was offline or not, but you've got to expect political violence. You got to know it was coming, and you've got to do the things to protect yourself and your family, because again, all sorts of stuff can be true. I mean, the reason that ICE was in Minnesota was because of the you know, the fraud and the Somali immigration that is also very real, right? And so, like I say, many things can be true at the same time. I don't think that woman had to lose her life for that. And I think the way the federal government is going about things is not the right way. I think that the government has a monopoly on power and exercises that monopoly. And this isn't the first ICE shooting, by the way. I think it's like the ninth one since September where they fired on someone in a vehicle. And so you can see how these people are trained. I'm sort of just ranting now, but, you know, I don't even know how long some of these officers have been in ICE. I remember them having job fairs just a month or two ago, right? So, you know.
You want to know what their training protocol is right now? So initially they had a 6-month threshold where before they armed these people and put them out in the streets, they wanted to have 6 months of training. They reduced it to 47 days to get on their knees for President Trump to flatter him because he's the 47th president.
Oh, Jesus.
And I wish that was a Saturday Night Live skit or a joke. Like, that's actually real. And again, you know, I saw a statement, an official statement from President Trump that said, in regards to the situation in Iran, that if any of the protesters were hurt by the government, that the U.S. would strike and come in and protect the Iranian citizens. Which, listen, man, I root for everybody. I am rooting for that country to be free. We'll talk about Venezuela in a second. But the irony of today, the president saying, if any Iranian protester is hurt by the government, we will be forced to strike and retaliate, is not lost on me. And it makes me fucking sad, Nick. It really, really does. I've been trying to not, you know, I've had such an amazing day. My Cubs went out and got a rock star starting pitcher. It's 80 degrees outside. Got a good workout. Work's amazing. Family's healthy. Everything here close to home is beautiful. And yet, it's hard not to feel on these situations, man. It's tough for me.
That's sort of what I'm saying, Gerardo, and what I've been saying for the past 5 years of this podcast. Worry about yourself and your family. Create that bubble around you and do what's best for you. Again, well, maybe not again, but I had a great day as well. I went and killed a solo limit of wildfowl this morning in my pond. The kids are healthy. We got 5 inches of snow yesterday. It looks like I'm living in a postcard here with the evergreen trees covered in snow. Yeah. And yet all this shit is going down around you, but we sort of told you all this shit was going to go down around you, right? And so, yeah. And again, so the partisanship is absolutely asinine. Like, you fucking don't got to pick one side. So you watch these press releases or press conferences, and you've got the mayor of, I guess, the mayor of Minneapolis saying to ICE, you know, get the fuck out of our city. We can handle it. And then you've got Kristi Noem saying this was an act of domestic terrorism. This chick was, you know, charging a officer with her car or whatever. And obviously,
her father said she wasn't even there for a protest. She was dropping her kid off at school is the only reason she was in the area. She was a widow.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I don't know what she was doing there. I can't speak to that. But obviously, both of these people, the mayor of Minneapolis and Kristi Noem, have an agenda, right? They're up there to talk their book, just like a broker or a TSXV stock promoter, right? They don't really care about the truth entirely. They care about getting their point across, getting their messaging across, and hitting the things they need to say to prepare for whatever's ahead, the court cases, etc. So, you know, I've seen a lot of 1984 tweets over the past couple of days from both sides, you know, saying we're all Winston now. Like the final order of the government was to for you to betray your eyes and ears. And that's true on both sides, right? Because, you know, like what you said about the angle of the bullets and the car, you can watch that thing and tell yourself, like, man, that guy could have got the fuck out of the way, right? Like, that's pretty plain.
He actually did.
Right.
That's how you know we could have, because he did.
At the same time, you can also say, if you could handle your shit as the mayor of Minneapolis, maybe you wouldn't have had $9 billion worth of fraud and funded these daycares, right? So,
and they should go to prison too. I am all equal opportunity, man. Absolutely. I want everybody in the Epstein files, which haven't been released, to go to prison. I want everybody involved with the $9 billion in fraud to go to prison. I want every state that's taken taxpayer dollars from my pocket and embezzling them, I want them all to go to prison. And I sure in the hell want trigger-happy fucking ICE agents with little to no training who all God knows what this background's going to come back, right? I don't even want to tell you what I assume. I'll tell you privately and we'll see if it checks out. If it does, then I'll say it on here one day. But I'm really curious to see what this gentleman's background's going to come up as. But the bottom line is, I don't know when it became partisan to just want accountability for everything, right? For everything. This isn't hard. It's my brain is weird, so I want to go to Venezuela and talk about that, because I have some Venezuelan acquaintances that are happy as all hell that Maduro is out of there. He was a fucking tyrant, right? A tyrant. That can be true. And it can also be true that the letter of the law says that was an illegal occupation of a sovereign country. And it's a straight up jack move. We kidnapped that dude, killed 80 to 100 people. We could argue till, you know, the sun comes out or goes down about whether those people deserve to die or not for protecting Maduro, or whether or not they were even protecting Maduro. But the law is the law. And I every day, Nick, I feel like I'm getting crazier by just wanting equal application of the law to everybody. It doesn't seem like a big ask, but it seems like every day it gets less and less. It's less and less practical to think that way. And I just, again, it infuriates me that before that young lady's body was cold, 20, 30 minutes later, Stephen Miller is on X calling her a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, they
hadn't even
book.
ID'd her yet. haven't even ID'd her yet. And it's a lot, man. It's a lot.
You got to talk your book. Not you, not me, but those partisans, they got to talk their book. They got to toe the line. And again, I already said that they got to say what they need to say to position their narrative, the way their narrative needs position to keep everyone wrapped up in it. One more thing on the Minnesota and the left before I skewer the right here in a second, because I'll give it to both sides. Fuck them all. It was only a couple of days ago since Tim Walz bailed out of the race for governor because of that fraud, right? I mean, like, that's a very real thing. And you had the left in that case saying, oh, I think he said at one point it was racist if you said that the Somali daycare shit was wrong. So, or was a fraud. So look, both sides do it. I don't know. I'm giving it back to you here a little bit, but both sides fucking do it, man. The left and the right. And then you have Governor Newsom, who I'd like to punch in the throat this week, come out and say, you know, congratulate this guy on a job well done in Minnesota, being a man of the people, and Amy Klobuchar doing the same thing. It's like, fuck no, man. This guy was nearly our vice president presiding over that shit. Like, what are you talking about? So now on to the right, because fuck them too with the Venezuela shit and them saying like, oh, this isn't a war. This isn't an incursion. He didn't need congressional approval. And if you say otherwise, you're supporting a dictator who's been bad to his people and didn't honor elections. It's like, well, like, just as you said, both of those things can be true. He can be a dictator. He could have stolen the election, but we still have a constitution in this United States. And they go right back to their corner as well. And as if you say anything about him needing Trump needing congressional approval or anything like that, the immediate response is, oh, what do you support, a dictator? What are you in favor of this? And it's like, no, I'm just like sort of me being a rugged individualist, which we still need to talk about, like calling it as I see it and staying right in the middle. So look,
you don't want to be embraced by the warmth of collectivism.
Oh God, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a second. We'll talk about it in a second because that's, I think, one of the things I'm most fired up about. But look, you know, I was around for Condoleezza's Rice smoking gun turning into a mushroom cloud. I was around to get sold a bill of goods about the weapons of mass destruction that weren't there. And look, man, like, I've seen this movie before. One tally for Trump's side is at least the dude was honest about it. Hey, we're going in there to steal the oil. I mean, it's like, oh, okay. You could have just said that in 2003 about Iraq or whatever. But look, it's a shit show out there, man. And so there's blatant violations of the Constitution going on, and you're in the thick of a four-turning. Like, this is heating up now, right? I would refer you back to the term ekpyrosis, which is a complete and utter burning down of the institutions and failure, which you're seeing in Iran, as you and I were talking about before we started recording, and elsewhere. And the other thing I would say is, if we can be so tactical about, you know, going in and look, I was watching before I went to bed because I'm on the West Coast, right? So I get the news. I can stay up a little later and see stuff that's happening while the East Coast has gone to bed. I was telling my wife, I was like, this guy's going to be out by the morning. I had seen the initial blasts and I was like, I wonder if he's even going to last another 24 hours. Sure enough, I woke up, turned on the news, and Maduro was out, man. We had him in a Nike tracksuit, and we were memeing the shit out of him. And it's like, if we can do that, like, where was that with Saddam? Like, where is that with Putin, right? Like, where is that with these with North Korea, like, and Iran? I don't understand how we pick and choose. So anyway, we could rant about this forever, but the ultimate takeaway is, again, I've been here on 40 acres for almost 8 years now because I fucking told you all this shit was coming. And so I try to view it with an irreverent lens because I feel like I'm insulated pretty well from it. And I don't like saying I told you so, but we told you so.
Oh, and I hate to say it, but, you know, if history is any indicator, and it always rhymes, right? At the very least, we're going to have more of this stuff. And just tragic and unnecessary all the way around. Here's a fun fact before we get into rugged individualism and being embraced by the warmth of collectivism. So everyone knows that, you know, I'm Mexican-American. I'm ethnically Mexican and nationality-wise, of course, I'm American. And so my hometown in Zacatecas is very well known for having a lot of activity. Let's just call it that. And so when I saw that the World Cup was going to be in Guadalajara, Jalisco, which is about an hour and a half drive from my town, I was like, This is going to be interesting when they start digging to build these stadiums and build out the infrastructure. So they started some of that digging last week, and oopsie, they found 450 dismembered bodies.
No shit.
On a casual dig. On the casual dig, they weren't even looking for these bodies. They just happened
Sure.
to be there where they're digging the infrastructure for the foundation of this place. It's not going to be the last time. It gives you an idea of how bad stuff is back home. And look, I love Mexico. It's near and dear to my heart, obviously. I have lots of family and friends still out there. I miss the Mexico that I grew up with, and it's absolutely tragic what's going on down there. And it's not all of Mexico. I mean, my part of the world happens to be messed up, but it's going to be an interesting World Cup, man. I just put it to you that way. It's going to be interesting between now and 2026, all of the stuff that they find out. Do you know why
It
there's
is
so many people go?
2026. I'm wondering why they're just breaking ground now. They're going to build the
Well, I
stadium when?
yeah, I think they have the stadium. I think they're breaking ground on some of the peripheral buildings and structures, but yeah, it's we're 8 days into 2026, folks, in January. This is absolutely a bonkers start to the year. Do we want to talk some markets and then you want to talk rugged individualism, or do you want to get right to rugged
I want to
individualism?
get right to rugged
Let's get right to it.
individualism.
Let's
So
go.
look, there's a reason that Venezuelans come to America to move, and Americans don't move to Venezuela. There's a reason that your parents wanted to have you in America and not in Mexico. There's a reason that there's so many Somali immigrants in Minneapolis and not that many Minnesotans in Somalia. America continues to be, for all the problems it has and all the different ways we articulate that and all the ways we've seen that in the past 6 days of this year or 7 days of this year, continues to be the freest nation with the most robust economy and the best system for uplifting all of humanity out of poverty and sickness, and that is capitalism. And so you got to sort of start there with this Mamdani guy, and I get that people are disenfranchised, and I get that the rent is too damn high, although it's actually coming down. We're seeing some disinflation. I've been writing about that. You got to separate that in your mind. I've written a lot about that over the past 2 months because, I guess I'll blend the markets in. You do have an S&P that's at all-time record highs. You've got other assets that are all-time record highs, but you've got a portion, a large portion of the country that's unable to make ends meet, and that's a lot about what we talk about here is sort of putting on the blinders, not relying on the government, which is what a certain cadre of our population is seemingly willing to do by voting in this Mamdani guy, right, who has openly embraced socialism, which is not the way, like. Socialism. I think you listened to Matt Taibbi's talk at the New Orleans
Sure.
Investment Conference.
Sure.
Responsible for tens, if not hundreds of millions of deaths. That's the
Hundreds. Yeah, hundreds of
that's
millions.
the warmth collectivism of socialism. I'm sure you saw the same memes that I did, with the gentleman in Tiananmen Square standing up against the warm embrace of collectivism. I'm sure you saw the pictures of North Korea at night talking about how warm and bright that collectivism is in North Korea, where people are starving and don't have
Yeah.
enough electricity. You don't want to go the route of socialism. You don't want to take other people's property. And nothing is free, by the way. Speaking of the World Cup, Mamdani thinks that everyone should get a World Cup ticket and doesn't need to pay 1,200 or 2,000 bucks for it. That's not the way it is. You've got to build things, Gerardo, and that's what you and I have done. We've built businesses. We employ people. We give those people nice bonuses for Christmas. That is the American and the capitalistic way. I remember 19 years ago when I started in this business. I've told this story before. I didn't get my first paycheck because there was an error
Yeah.
in the paperwork, and I had to call my parents
Yep.
for money to buy groceries that week. And I just added another. I just crossed another $1 million threshold. Not to brag or one up everybody, but and we built businesses that now employ a dozen people, including ourselves. You don't do that
Yep.
in a socialistic system, and you don't ask for handouts. And these people who were doing it, and by the way, lots of immigrants who voted for Mamdani. That's a fact, and it's the same thing. It applies back to Minneapolis, which is what the right is complaining about. You guys are importing these people. You're doing this no ID vote stuff. You're giving them benefits and handouts, some of which are fraud, and of course they're voting for you, right? So if you look at the charts, which I don't know if you saw going around the Twitter or not, native New Yorkers voted not for Mamdani. It was primarily the immigrants who voted for Mamdani. And so you don't want to bastardize our system. I spent a period in my 20s and early 30s looking for other places to go. I vetted other countries. Glad I didn't go as I age and mature. And what is the Churchill quote? It's like, if you're not a liberal in your younger days, you don't have a heart. But if you're not a conservative as you age, you don't have a fucking brain, right? So the socialism is not the path, man. It's not the way to prosperity. And I'll get off my high horse after that. But that fucking quote about rugged and we want to avoid the rugged individualism and embrace the warmth of collectivism. Yeah. Fuck no, man. I'm a rugged individualist to my core. Have always been an individualist. I'm an independent voter. Don't vote for none of you fucking cocksuckers on either side of the aisle. And so listen, man, this guy is on the wrong side of history, and those who voted for him are as well.
Yeah. And I'll say this, it's incumbent on us capitalists of the world to do it correctly, because there's so much corruption that has disenfranchised so many people that it's a stain on both houses. Let's put it that way, right? They're the only reason socialism can even be popular. On the day that they ousted Maduro, I went to have brunch with my beautiful wife in downtown Austin. And I walked past this nice restaurant we were going to have brunch to, and they were having a protest. And I thought, oh, they're celebrating being free, which they were. And simultaneously, there were like 30 people in red shirts that said socialism is the future. And I couldn't believe my fucking eyes. I'm like, you're celebrating the fact that this guy is out of power because of how brutal and oppressive his socialist regime was. And simultaneously, you're wearing this shirt. And I'm like, am I losing my mind? I looked at my wife and I was like, let's get the fuck out of here. I don't want pictures next to these people. And next thing you know is Gerardo Del Real was arrested protesting downtown, or show up in an FBI file somewhere. That's the last thing that I need. So I was like, we're going to go around and go the other way. I'm not even walking through the march and the protest, right? Shout out to all my Venezuelan friends, acquaintances, people of Venezuela. I wish freedom on everybody. Same with Iran. Same with everywhere. But look, I have Cuban friends. I have Venezuelan friends. I don't know of anyone that loves socialism when they've had socialism, y'all. But for us capitalists out here, we all as a collective have to do better, because there is a lot of abuse that goes on this side.
Sure.
That nobody even plays off anymore. It's just like, fuck you, we can do it, so we're going to. Kind of like the way this administration talks to people right now. Fuck you, we can do it, so we're just going to do it. You'll take it until you can't take it no more.
Well, we're going to see. Congress is voting to ban themselves from trading stocks. I'm interested to see that. I'm interested to see that voter registry for sure.
All right, man, let's get to the
markets.
And
by the way, I'll transition you to the markets. The inverse Cramer ETF beat Pelosi last year.
That is so great. So great. Let's talk about those markets. While the world is in chaos and volatile and in a fourth turning, the markets have been an absolute joy for us. And look, we've had, you know, not to toot our own horn, but we've had a lot of subscribers write in with great testimonials over the last month or two. Thank you all. Those mean a lot to Nick and myself and our staff and everybody that makes us look and sound smarter than we are. But please keep writing in. We've had so many people write in about just the difference that, you know, we've been able to help with. Ultimately, people make their own decisions. They allocate their own capital. They decide what to do with it. Kudos to y'all for taking the steps. But it feels good to play a small part, at least, in providing some of that research and providing some direction on that. So I say all that to say that gold is at 4,500. Silver is at 75. Hit 82 recently. Going to triple digits, it looks like. Copper just hit a new all-time high. Lithium is 70% off the bottom. Stocks have, you know, stocks like Q2 Metals are up some 240% over the past 6 months. Patriot PMET Resources up some 130% over the past 6 months. It's been a heck of a start to 2026. I don't want to go too long on the markets, because I think it's pretty clear to me where gold, silver, copper, and lithium go on my end of it, and as well as uranium. But it looks to me like they all go higher. You're the technician. You're like, I see you looking at charts. I know your chart look. What's that look like over there?
I mean, I'll tell you all sorts of things. I'll talk about the markets for a second because we spend so long on the other stuff. You know, copper's at all-time highs. I think you said that while I was, my brain was distracted looking stuff up. It hit $6. You know, it needs to consolidate here a bit. You'll hear me say a lot, trees don't grow to the sky. So nonetheless, that's a very healthy price for copper. Was talking to a couple of CEOs this week who are excited to redo their corporate decks and redo economic studies, PEAs and pre-feasibility studies. Now that there's a analyst consensus at a $5 price that you can use for those, that adds a lot of NPV, net present value, and IRR to projects that we're involved in. That's a great price for copper. Gold, as you say, approaching $4,500 again after getting a little $200 slam down there at the end of December on the 29th, I think it was. I wrote both a monthly issue and a weekly issue today, so all this stuff is fresh in my mind. Excuse me while I rant down the markets a little bit. So the impressive one was silver, which during that beautiful holiday we had, I was telling my wife and my in-laws every day, you looking like, have you seen, I didn't have anybody else to talk to. I was like, have you seen silver?
Same.
Like, you see what silver's doing? And they're like, what? Like, we don't give a shit, right?
I feel bad for some CEOs out there. I'm texting them like, you need to have your news ready as soon as Monday hits, right? It's like Christmas Eve and I'm texting them and they probably got sick of me, but hey,
yeah,
I get it. Well, it's good. You got to make hay when it's there.
So silver was doing $7 to $10 days. And the thing I wanted to say was, you know, you and I have talked about all the fundamental drivers, the central bank buying, the industrial demand, the weaker dollar, the debts and deficits, et cetera, et cetera. And what we saw with silver towards the end of the year there was something a little bit different. I think you got the paper market sort of starting to break, which is what a lot of those silver bugs have talked about for a while. And I gave the moon guys a lot of shit, that Reddit crowd, in the past couple of years. But silver is certainly having its day now, not that it's made a lunar landing yet. But $80 silver is quite crazy, and you could see it in those $7 to $10 moves with folks requesting physical delivery that the bullion banks didn't have it, and short positions had to cover in a very meaningful
aggressive fashion.
And so what I was writing in Foundational Profits is that, like that, and I was talking about, you know, mass psychology, market psychology, dimes, and all that, is that framework, that psychology is applying to other metals now. It's like, and it really has been for the past couple of months. It's like, oh shit, we don't have enough silver. Well, apply that to lots of stuff. Oh shit, we don't have enough platinum, which is up 50% in the past 3 months to all-time highs at $2,400. Oh shit, lithium carbonate, which you said up 80% in the past couple of months to back in a bull market. Oh shit, tin's popping off. Maybe we don't have enough of that. Oh shit, nickel. Look at that chart breaking out of a downtrend, right? So this narrative, this psychology, which James Dines wrote a lot about, is it's sort of catching fire, right? It's like a trail of gasoline where it's going from metal to metal and place to place. And you see all these metals breaking out. So yeah, we already had a very nice gold run, right? I mean, gold can still go to $4,600 and you shouldn't blink an eye. I don't know how much more higher silver can go without a bit of a correction, but last year was certainly the year of silver, 2025. And what we're seeing now is these equities starting to play catch up, which is where you and I dabble. Of course, we own some gold and some silver, but the bulk of our portfolio is in precious and base metal miners, particularly on the small side. And if you look at the chart of, you know, after the correction in October for silver and gold, gold didn't really get back out of bed. Yeah, it got back to where it was in October, November, but it finished the year up 65%. Silver finished the year up nearly 150%. And if you look at the chart of the metals ETFs versus the metals, I'm talking about the GDXs, the GDXJs, the SILs, the SILJs, you can see them starting to break away from the metals. And then, you know, we're in a market now that's a meme-tastic market, right? And you're going to see people start to pile on, and are starting to see that in some respects, like Elliott Investment Management, which has like $70 some billion under their umbrella is their largest position is Triple Flag, Gerardo. And you and I were involved in Triple Flag very early on. And I've been writing about, and we've got a promotion out for Gold Script Companies, which is just royalty and streaming deals. And it's pretty easy to see if you can have a contract to buy a metal at a certain price and the price of the metal is going up every day at which you can sell it, that you're able to print money. And you're going to get pile on trades, I think, in 2026. So
it's like having warrants in the money.
Lots of warrants in the money for sure. And so, yeah, thank you all for the kudos and the well wishes and the testimonials you've written in with. There's been a lot of good ones. One guy sent us a screenshot of his account for 2025. He's a subscriber of yours. He's a subscriber of mine. He was up over 100%. I know that's a Schwab chart because I look at the same thing and I use Schwab. So. And then you got to talk about the private placements, of which I think we've got 46 open deals, but you know, there's not really 46 positions. It's more like 30 some because we've got multiple positions in some companies. Yeah. The average winner up some 350%, right? With, as you just said, lots of warrants in the money, which we'll be writing about this year. And so, look, bull market and brains, I'm not trying to confuse them. I don't think I'm the sharpest tool in the shelf or the shed or on the tool belt, but in broad strokes, we got a lot right. We just talked about the fourth turning and how we had been calling for global unrest and political unrest and domestic unrest and how the blood of patriots was going to be spilled. At the same time, we've been talking about a super cycle for the past 5 years, ever since it really kicked off in 2020. And that continues to be true, right? And now you're just waiting for every next shoe to drop, right? So I don't know what you want to talk about from there. I mean, at some point, I think these tech companies are going to have to get involved. We've seen them make announcements with data centers and with nuclear power providers and utilities. But at some point, just like Elon Musk was tweeting about, you know, maybe Tesla's got to get into lithium mining a couple of years ago. Mr. Musk was also tweeting about silver over the holiday. And I assume at some point, I'll just keep going. Sorry to hog the mic. You can't have all these nuclear agreements signed with Meta and Amazon and Facebook and, or I guess Facebook is Meta and Microsoft. You can't have these reactor restarts and life extensions, and you can't have the federal government give $2.7 billion for uranium enrichment without even mentioning uranium. Like, where's the uranium going to come from? At some point, the announcements you saw last year from tech companies are going to be like partnering with uranium companies to actually get the metal out of the ground, which is harkens back to what I was saying about silver. That's the psychological framework we're in. Like, oh, we actually need the metal. And like, yeah, no shit. You actually need the metal. Like, it's got to come out of the ground. And when you look at companies like Apple and Amazon and these others that have $1 trillion market caps, and we've said this a lot before, it doesn't take a lot of their capital to invest in the CapEx of a mining project, right? So exciting times, man. And I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I think 2026, as phenomenal as 2025 was for us and for subscribers and everyone, I think 2026 is going to be, pardon the pun, given the times that we live in right now, but gasoline to the fire for sure. It's gonna be a hot 2026, folks. With that being said, look, Nick and I will be at the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference later this month. If anyone is out there, please reach out and say hello. I believe Nick has a speaking engagement. I believe you'll also be at the Metals Investor Forum. Is that accurate, Nick?
Yeah, I'm not presenting at the MIF, the Metals Investor Forum, but I'll be there for both days of it. I think that's the 23rd and the 24th, or the 24th, 25th, Friday, Saturday, and then VRIC, the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference, is the Sunday and the Monday, where, yes, I will be speaking twice on Monday, once by myself, and once with the lovely Charlotte McLeod from the Investor News Network, and Fabi Lara. We have a uranium panel that we'll be doing on Monday afternoon. So people are already reaching out. Subscribers have been phoning in to Jimmy asking if we'll be there, because they're going to be there. So I'm sure we'll run into some of you there. They will likely come back with some new deals, new financings, et cetera. Yep. So keep an eye out for that. And just on the mining tip, as the sun comes around and gets in my face, some other things we said before, because we mentioned Venezuela, we've mentioned Iran, we mentioned Cuba. You didn't mention Greenland, which now we're also going to potentially invade and or
that's the kind of week it's been
by a part of. And I'll say what I said about Greenland for the past 2 years as it's been in the news. Like, good luck getting those medals out of the ground in time, right? But I did see a funny meme, which is why I brought it up. And it was that Denmark was going to change the name of Greenland to Epstein
Files.
That way Trump would stop talking about it.
Just to remind everyone of y'all out there, before we get to the premium portion of the podcast, we have less than 1% of the files. Files that didn't exist, then were a hoax, then they had on the desk of A.G. Bondi, and then didn't exist again, and it was a left-wing hoax meant to distract you, and now they need 400 attorneys to go through them. This is the type of stuff we're being told to our ears and to our eyes. And they're not asking you if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian. They're just straight up bullshitting everybody, guys. So that's the amount of cover up the government will do to protect rapists and pedophiles.
Yep. On both sides.
Yeah, on both sides. That's a fact.
In Israel, in England, I mean, That's a fact. I mean, Prince Andrew was requesting another inappropriate friend in one of those emails to Miss Maxwell.
Yeah, it's something. It's something. Let's listen, let's get to the premium portion of the podcast because I know we're 40 something minutes in already. This was the 348th episode of our weekly therapy session we call Investing in Bizarro World. Have missed you guys. Great to be back. Looking forward to getting back to it with you all next week. Have a great week, folks. Take care of each other. Be safe out there, please. And have a good one, folks. Be safe out there.
See ya.